On BYUSN, we know BYU-Utah always has a lot at stake, but is Saturday's contest a Big 12 championship elimination game? Hey, BYU's initial injury report has been released for this week. Jack Kelly's name not on it.
Hey.
So how does the star linebacker being available impact BYU's chances in the game against Utah?
Safety Tanner Wall details his emotions for the Utah game and how the BYU defense plans to slow down Devin Dampier and the Utah offense. And Men's Hoops assistant coach Brandon Dunson joins the show to react to the Big 12 preseason poll all-conference team and preview the exhibition game at Nebraska.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, October 16th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who collects editions of Slam Magazine, Jerem Jordan.
I do not. I probably did that with, like, the new era back in the day. Alicia Kramer Rose, shout out. But Slam Magazine teased the following that they are releasing today, the future, and that is clearly A.J. Dubonsa. Worst kept secret ever. Also, Slam recently just followed you and I on Twitter.
Yep.
So that's AJ. He's going to be on the cover, which is super cool. Congrats to AJ. And he continues to do unbelievable things, right? GQ, before, at some point, Sports Illustrated, you would think, which used to be a bigger deal than it is. But, yeah, our boy is going to be on that magazine. That's
the
awesome.
The notoriety his name, image, and likeness is bringing to BYU is even more wild than I thought it would be. I knew it would be amazing.
And we're just getting going.
He hasn't even played a game.
Not a game. He has practice, though. Yeah.
He's going to have a practice game this weekend against Nebraska and another against North Carolina. And then it is on beginning in Vegas. Very cool. Slam Magazine, welcome to the BYU Sports Nation social media fold. On that note, rise and shout. Nice. Let's get to what's trending.
This is one of the most important rivalry weeks of the season. They're two ranked opponents, and they both could very easily be the Big 12 conference champion.
This is a defining moment. That's just how this works in this rivalry.
Listen, we know AJ and all of the basketball Cougs. When they can, they'll be dialed into BYU football as well, because they know
what this weekend means.
It is rivalry week, and BYU has just released their injury report for the Saturday showdown against the Utes. Let's walk through it. Players listed out: wide receiver JoJo Phillips, safety Tommy Prassis, running back Sione Moa, cornerback Marcus McKenzie, and linebacker Che Bryant Strother. Now, there are no new names or no unexpected names in that category.
We were hoping Prassis would be back, but yeah, he's out.
Doubtful safety Raider DeMooney, also expected given his injury against Arizona last week. Probable defensive tackle Anisi Purcell. As we said, a name that was questionable last week was linebacker Jack Kelly. He's nowhere to be found, Jerem. Mm,
but you know where he will be found? You will be found. In the backfield against Utah, hopefully. That's great news.
Yeah. So, again, I'm glad that Anisi Purcell is back. Jack Kelly's the headliner here, clearly.
Oh.
Because of what he means to this defense.
Omissive headline. I love it.
So, let's try and quantify just how important Jack Kelly is.
278.
To this BYU team. What does having him back mean for the Cougars?
He's the key to defending Devin Dampier to me. If Jack Kelly didn't play in this game, I think it would be much more difficult, obviously. Is BYU going to drop eight and make Devin Dampier throw into windows? Are they going to have various blitzes to force him out of the pocket and still throw into a bunch of windows that are deeper down the field because he hasn't shown that he's going to be effective on long throws? It's all of the above. The energy from Jay Hill right now is exciting because he loves a good challenge, and this is a good challenge. This is a good Utah offense. I bet BYU won't blitz him a ton. They'll make him throw. But let's take a look at what Devin Dampier has done passing and give us a sense of where maybe BYU could challenge him a little bit. So I've looked at his passing chart. 63% of his throws are within 10 yards. 20% are behind the line of scrimmage. He throws a lot of short passes. Those are high percentage throws. That makes sense. It's a new offense. That's how you kind of install it from Jason Beck. He's only 3 of 19 on passes of 20-plus down the field.
Well.
He doesn't chuck it far. He's 58 of 68 on throws 0 to 10 yards between the numbers. His highest yards per attempt, by the way, is line of scrimmage left, a.k.a. screens, quick throws, 14.8 yards per attempt on those. And so if I'm BYU, I make Devin Dampier beat me down the field. Now, his legs are his greatest weapon. It's not his arm. It is his legs. And so does he break out and run down the field? It's interesting because BYU's starting two corners, Evan Johnson and Trey Alexander III, are two of the top cover corners in the country statistically right now. They can go man-to-man with Utah's receivers. But if you get in man-to-man and you get down the field and Dampier starts running and your back is turned, that's when it's a little bit of trouble.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see if BYU plays a ton of zone and makes Utah just throw over the top of them. And if they do that successfully, that's the challenge, right, for the BYU defense is make Devin Dampier beat you down the field because he hasn't done it that well so far this year.
And is Jack Kelly granted, even within a zone scheme, the ability to just float and then shadow Devin Dampier?
I think he's going to be the Ethan Hunt this week. I do.
Yeah, what does it mean to have him back? I want to say everything because that's kind of how I feel.
And he's not 100%.
No.
Like, he is still injured.
But how much better, if you're playing on that BYU defense and you see Captain Jack take his place back, how much better do you feel automatically? You should.
Crazy confidence. I think when he runs on the field, because he missed the Arizona game and people know he's injured, but playing through this, he's going to play, are going to go crazy when he warms up.
How do you accurately put a value on the leadership and confidence that just his presence on the field brings?
Let alone what he does.
And then he goes out and executes the game plan at a very high level. Yeah. So I'll take Jack Kelly at 80% all day, every day.
Maybe 60%. You know what I mean?
We don't know.
He's so valuable to the
but
defense.
But all of the dynamics of what he brings to the mentality and the confidence of that entire BYU defense. But frankly, I don't think Jay Hill would put him out there if he didn't think that he could go and execute the game plan at a high level still.
Right.
I really don't.
For sure.
So what percentage that requires Jack Kelly to be, I don't know. But I do trust that Jay Hill is like, okay, I know that you're well enough to go and work out my game plan. You're going to execute the game plan, and you're going to make this happen.
It is well with my soul that Jack Kelly is playing for BYU this week.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, there's a lot at stake in this game, obviously, a million things. But is this a Big 12 championship appearance elimination game?
My initial reaction is, now wait a second, we're so early in the season. We're at the midway point. Like, BYU still has six conference games to play, as do most Big 12 teams.
I mean, we just passed a third of Big 12 play.
However, with tiebreakers in play, yep, and BYU at 3-0 and Utah at 2-1, it's starting to feel more and more like whoever wins this game takes a significant step forward and holds a massive advantage over the other in getting to a Big 12 championship game. So let's go ahead and paint the picture a little bit. And first, give you the odds to win the Big 12 according to ESPN's Football Power Index. Texas Tech is the clear favorite here.
I don't know about that.
Almost 60% chance to win the Big 12.
And that's win it, not get to it.
BYU is number two at 17.4%.
Yep.
And you'd think, well, Cincinnati's probably the next because they're 3-0 too. No, it's Utah listed as number three. So teams 2 and 3 at 17 and 14% respectively face off on Saturday night. And I'm gathering that whoever wins that game, that number, that percent chance is probably going to double.
Yeah, 30 or 40% I would
guess. It will probably double. Because think about it. If BYU's 4-0 and Utah now has just taken their second conference loss, BYU has a two-game lead on Utah and still owns the tiebreaker there. Whereas if Utah wins, both teams are 3-1, but then Utah owns the head-to-head tiebreaker. And now you're starting to look at, well, what do these teams have left for the remainder of the season? And that's where it gets very interesting. Because BYU, as we have chronicled ad nauseum, we feel plays one of the most difficult remaining Big 12 schedules.
Yes.
In the conference, if not the most difficult. Utah's not as hard because they've already faced Texas Tech, Arizona State, and BYU on the road, and they beat BYU. Like, it's not going to be as difficult.
They've got Cincinnati and at Baylor left. It kind of the tougher games.
It's starting to feel like if you want to get to the Big 12 title game and you're BYU Utah, you have to win this game.
And the likelihood is that it's similar to last year where there's three or four teams tied for second. We're just kind of assuming that Texas Tech is going to be the one team. If there are no losses, I do think they'll have one loss going into Arlington. But let's look at what's kind of left for everybody else. So there's BYU, Texas Tech, Cincinnati. We're going to take Tech out of it. They're 3-0, right? Houston, Utah, ASU, Baylor, all 2-1. So who has what left? Everybody's got, in my opinion, at least three games that are really compelling. You look at BYU, you got Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU, Cincinnati. There's five tough games left.
Good grief.
Cincinnati has Baylor at Utah, BYU at TCU. Houston has at Arizona State, TCU at Baylor. Utah, as mentioned, has, of course, BYU, Cincinnati at Baylor. Arizona State has Texas Tech this week. If they lose that, that's a second loss. Houston, who's still technically in this, at Iowa State. And then Baylor is at TCU, at Cincinnati, Utah, Houston. The point being, everybody's got a bunch of games. We didn't include the teams that have two losses, Iowa State, Kansas, K-State, Arizona, TCU. They basically have to run the table because we think,
any of those teams going to run the table?
No. Last year, Baylor went on a crazy run at the end. Arizona State went on a crazy run at the end. So it could happen. But as currently constituted, it seems like if you have two losses already, you probably aren't going to Arlington because you're not going to run the table. So it's the teams with no or one loss that are left. So that's BYU. And again, we're penciling in Texas Tech right now. You might put them in Sharpie. I don't know. BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, Utah, ASU, Baylor. This is an elimination game for the Big 12 in all likelihood. It is a massive game for the rivalry, for the stakes of that, for if you want to somehow be in the college football playoff too beyond the Big 12 title game. If BYU is to supersede what we've been saying, which is we think there are still three losses out there for BYU, which we hope not. We just think the schedule's hard.
Beat Utah.
You have to beat Utah, and maybe it's only two.
Yeah.
Maybe Bear Bachmeier is just the fifth freshman quarterback since 2000 to lead his team to 10 regular season wins. That's what we're talking about.
Wild.
It would be wild. The way BYU's playing has been good enough to beat the teams they've played. That's been great. Have they been way better than the teams they've played? No. BYU needs to play its best game on Saturday. They need to defend a very good Utah offense well. Utah's defense is good. BYU's offense is good too. This matchup is awesome. It's a tough game. If BYU played in the SEC, we'd have games like this almost every week, right? In the Big Ten. There were more winnable games at the front of the Big 12 schedule like we talked about. Now it begins.
Yes.
Against your rival in the back half of the schedule. I can't wait. The stakes are so high.
Technically speaking, BYU could lose the game to Utah, and there are still incredible opportunities to go and get one back out there. Notably at Texas Tech on November 8th. So, yeah, it's not technically an elimination game, but if BYU loses to Utah, it's hard right now to think that they're going to go to Lubbock and take care of business against the best team in the conference.
Yes.
Like, if BYU can't beat Utah on their home field, it's a hard sell to say, well, they can still go to Lubbock and beat the best team on their home field.
Are you confident they go to Iowa State or Cincinnati and win those games?
I feel like they have a much better chance to win those games than they do in Lubbock.
Yes, for sure. But and this is a big game for Utah, too. I mean, besides Texas Tech, Utah hasn't played the toughest schedule either. Arizona State without Sam Levitt looked way different. Defensively, Sam Levitt doesn't play on defense. That offense played really well against a good defense.
And it looked like Arizona State's defense gave up early in the third quarter.
Which was weird. So that was the other notable win there. But BYU, and you can compare BYU to Arizona against that defense. That was a good defense, too. Top 10 in a bunch of stuff. Top 25. So these two teams, this is a plume your feathers game, a show what you've got game, and perhaps like we're talking about, an elimination game for hoping to get to Arlington. This is a massive, massive contest. If they both stunk, it'd still be massive, but we have these Big 12 conference context stakes.
So here's what I'm gathering from all of this. If you want to have any legitimate shot of getting to Arlington and playing in the Big 12 championship game, you cannot have more than two conference losses.
I don't think so.
You can't.
I think there will be tiebreakers with 7-2 teams.
And if both BYU and Utah are 7-2,
and they're the only two, then the winner of this game goes.
There you go.
I'd imagine there'd be another team that would be 7-2. So then it will be record versus the other two. But you want that win in your pocket. Mm. I don't see a scenario where BYU loses this game and gets to Arlington. I just think they have to have it.
Cincinnati could be 7-2 as well.
Yes. And hopefully one of those two losses is versus Brigham Young.
They play both Utah and BYU still.
Interesting.
Do you like the context of being back in a conference?
Who misses independence? Put your arm down. What are you doing?
Where's my piccolo? Play the fife and drum.
I miss Idaho State in November. No.
Shout out to the SEC still has that going.
They can play FCS in November. Yes, they do. SEC is good, though. We all know.
Our question of the day, do you believe that the BYU-Utah game is a Big 12 championship elimination game?
We're being pretty dramatic here, but I think it deserves it.
Why or why not? At Chris on X says, no. Both teams in the championship game last season had two losses. Puts BYU in a very tough position. But it wouldn't be impossible to have this be a wake-up call and go 4-1 down the stretch. Even for Utah, it wouldn't be the craziest thing ever for them to finish 5-0.
Utah still has Cincinnati and at Baylor.
At Baylor and at Kansas. At Kansas is
on Black Friday.
A weird final
short
game.
Short week. Thanksgiving.
What is Kansas playing for? Like, right. Yeah.
Kansas late last season was on a heater.
I know. BYU was unfortunately
the third one of
a victim of said heater from that Kansas football team.
Yeah. Everybody's losing a game in the league, I believe. Even Texas Tech.
They'll weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Hey, this just in the last couple of minutes. The Big 12 Conference released the preseason poll for men's basketball. BYU checks in at Number two. Here it is, Spence. Houston 1, BYU 2, Tech 3. We called that yesterday. Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Baylor, Cincinnati. Kansas State at 9, TCU, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Utah 13, UCF, Colorado, Arizona State. Do you agree with this?
Wow. Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm looking at BYU specific. Do I agree with? Yeah. I'm glad that BYU got the nod that I think they deserve. I thought maybe they'd show up at number 3, which would be okay, too. And for those keeping score at home, BYU received 204 points, Texas Tech 200.
That's tight.
The way the voting goes, that's very close. So I could flip-flop those two teams and still be okay. But the fact that BYU is 2 or 3, I absolutely agree with that. And, I mean, even the top 8 all seems totally understandable. I'm just, again, you read the names, and I'm like, I can't believe BYU plays in this basketball conference.
It's even better than football, right?
Like Houston, it's awesome. BYU, Texas Tech, Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Baylor, Cincinnati. Those are all awesome college basketball programs in the top 8.
In men's hoops, you have 3 teams that are kind of top 12 teams, right? In football, you have 1 right now. So it's a better basketball league than it is football, but it's still a good football league. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Kansas is 6th.
I know,
Jerem.
Right? Kansas going, was the expansion of this league really good for us? 1 through 8 look like the NCAA tournament teams to me, and the 9 through 16 look like the teams that are hoping they somehow get on the bubble. And
yeah, fight. Kansas State, like, TCU, West Virginia, yeah, bubbly.
Bubbly, yeah, bubblicious. So, yeah, I agree with that order. I thought it was pretty good. BYU got 1 vote for first. We think that's probably from Houston because they can't vote for themselves. Arizona got 1, too. It might have been for Arizona. So they don't reveal who voted for what. But it's safe to assume that Kevin Young probably voted for Houston.
Probably.
Unless he voted for Arizona. Unless he was the one
Houston
for Arizona.
Houston played in the national championship game
last year. After what happened
at
Arizona, after the game, I'm not sure Kevin Young voted for Arizona. So I would guess that it was Houston. But I agree. Yeah, let's go.
BYU's A.J. DeBonsa and Richie Saunders, I'm sure, don't really care about where BYU was picked in that lineup, but they were named to the preseason All Big 12.
Unless they were number 7 or something. Now, wait a minute.
Maybe a little irked about that.
Yeah, 2? Fine.
So BYU has 2 of the 10 players on the All Big 12 preseason team in one of the, if not the best, college basketball conference in America.
I would argue BYU has 2 of the top 7 players in the league.
How about that?
I think Richie's right.
We live in that reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. Welcome to Tron.
DeBonsa, a unanimous selection for the preseason all-conference team, but was not named the preseason freshman of the year. So,
okay.
Not really sure how that works. But We're going to ask the question, what's the bigger deal? BYU having two players on the preseason All Big 12 team, so two of the 10, or A.J. DiBonsa not being named preseason freshman of the year?
I expected Richie to be preseason All Big 12 because he ended last season as preseason All Big 12. That makes sense. And we know that he's going to be even better. So I'm going to say A.J. DiBonsa not being named the preseason freshman of the year. Now, Darren Peterson was the number one recruit from some services coming out over AJ. And so that makes sense a little bit. And I kind of love it because I think AJ will use that as motivation. He'll say, and AJ's the kind of kid in our many, many conversations with him that goes, it's all good. It's preseason, whatever. Like, you got to play. If he was the freshman of the year, also not a big deal. Like, I got to prove them right then at that point. So, AJ not being named freshman of the year. It's not shocking because there's another great player there. It's the Big 12. Kansas got Darren Peterson. He's good, too. I think it's going to be fun to watch these guys battle.
Most experts think that A.J. DiBonsa and Darren Peterson are going 1 and 2 in the NBA draft.
How fun is this? Why do they only play once? Previously scheduled matrix dictated that.
Yeah, again, I'm with you. I anticipated that both A.J. and Richie would be on the preseason. Richie was a postseason All-Big 12 player.
Yeah.
So why would he not, if he decides to come back, be on the preseason team along with a guy who's projected to go in the top 2 in the NBA draft. But it is interesting that they did give the nod to Darren Peterson. Like, I wonder what the difference was. Like, what is it that...
I want to know the vote. Was it 9-7?
Yeah, maybe it was very close.
Was it 10-6? Yeah, I was surprised, by the way, preseason newcomer of the year was Lawan Watts from
Texas. And not P.J. Haggerty?
I thought P.J. Haggerty of Memphis was a no... Memphis... To K-State.
And P.J. Haggerty is on the preseason All Big 12 team.
But Lawan Watts is not. So why wouldn't P.J.? Anyway, doesn't matter. These are things I worry
Semantics.
About. Semantics. Yeah, these are things I worry about. Coming up on Saturday, BYU against Utah, the first ranked matchup since 2009 in this rivalry. Pregame starts at 6 Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game's on Fox. Jason Benetti, RG3, can't wait, 8 Eastern, BYU Radio as well. Postgame, BYU TV, BYU Radio. The rivalry renewed.
Up next, I go one-on-one with BYU senior safety Tanner Wall on what his emotions are like during rivalry week and how the BYU defense can slow down Devin Dampier. This is BYU Sports Nation. That dude is a gamer in the critical moments.
Intercepted!
Trust the DBs to go and do their thing.
It's picked! It's a touchdown!
One of the best weeks of the year. A lot of excitement behind this game, and you know, we're excited to go out there on Saturday and play it.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan will join us again in a moment. Yesterday, I spoke after football practice with BYU senior safety Tanner Wall to address the emotions of rivalry week, what Jay Hill, his defensive coordinator, is doing to make BYU feel so confident about this Saturday's matchup. And does he spend any time on social media at all during rivalry week? Tanner Wall is on BYU Sports Nation.
Tanner, how would you sum up the emotions of this week and this game, especially at the midway point of the season?
Just a lot of excitement, right? We know how much this game means, obviously, from a rivalry perspective, but also because it's our next opponent in a season where, you know, we've accomplished what we set out to so far, and, you know, we still have a lot left to do working towards our goals. But this is a massive game for us, and it being a rivalry game here at home, big noon kickoff, even more excitement surrounding, you know, this amazing environment that is this game, and we're excited, ready to go.
How much do you feel like home field advantage matters in this game? Because you played with BYU last year at Rice-Eccles Stadium, and it was crazy in its own right. Now you get them at home. So how much of an advantage is home field?
Oh, it's massive. Like, you know, I think anytime a team's, you know, playing in Lavelle Edwards Stadium and the Rock is packed like that and the energy in the stadium is going to be what it is, it's a huge advantage for us, especially defensively, right, with the noise and, you know, snap operation, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's a legitimate factor. You know, I've been a part of 2 wins against Utah, 1 at home, 1 on the road, and excited to, you know, have another one back in our stadium. And I know there's going to be a lot of energy Saturday night.
When the game starts and you're actually making plays in between the lines, how different does the football feel in this rivalry game compared to the rest of the football games that you play with BYU?
You know, I don't know if for me personally it changes that much during the game. I think obviously, you know, at the outcome of the game when you really step back and realize, you know, the game you just put together and, you know, how big of a win it was, it definitely means a lot more. But you gotta, for me, I just kind of have to hone in and stay focused during those 60 minutes and make sure that I'm locked in, exactly knowing where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, I think when we go back and review film from a game like this, it definitely means more.
BYU had to expend a lot of energy and a lot of effort to survive in double overtime against Arizona. Then you got to come back, and now you're into rivalry week. So what's the key to getting right physically and mentally for this game after a really tough road game?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, what Coach Kalani preaches and talks about very consistently with us is doing the small and simple things, right? Don't let the little things slip. In a week like this, right? You know, as you said, coming back off a crazy double overtime win, getting back super late, you know, we got to capitalize on our sleep, our recovery through eating and hydration, and that's always being preached to us. And I think as a team, we've done a good job of making sure that that's taken care of and that's important. And also, you know, being willing during the week to sacrifice certain things that aren't, you know, of that much importance, right? Where we can get more film study in or get an extra 30 minutes to an hour of sleep, you know, being willing to sacrifice things for the good of our team and towards our hopeful success.
As we turn the page to Utah and watching tape on Utah and what their offense does, what's the first thing that you noticed upon film review and really a deep dive into what their offense is doing?
I think just clean operation. They have a scheme that they execute well, and I think, you know, their quarterback's a great athlete. I think that's the thing that definitely comes out on the tape is the way that he makes plays with his legs running. That's definitely something, you know, that teams in these previous weeks have struggled with quite a bit. And you know, he's been able to capitalize on his athleticism and put his team in a good position to win a lot of games.
I know you're not going to reveal much here, but generally speaking, how do you feel about the game plan that your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, is putting together for the showdown with Utah?
I feel really good. No, I'm stoked. We've had two really, really good days of practice. In fact, you know, Coach Hill even compared today, the way that we practiced to some of our bowl prep practices for Colorado last year, which some of the best practices we've ever had. And, you know, the outcome of that game was exactly, you know, how we expected it to go defensively. So, you know, with knowing that, definitely building a lot of confidence within us, knowing we're stacking great days of practice together and executing exactly what the coaches are asking of us. And, you know, we love Coach Hill. We trust him, and he's a mastermind. And, you know, he's already spent a lot of time this week, you know, doing his thing and really studying and making sure that we're ready.
You've seen a couple of mobile quarterbacks in recent weeks, Caden Salter at Colorado. I know Noah Fifita likes to use his arm more with Arizona, but he too is mobile. So how will that help you against a player like Devin Dampier, the Utah quarterback?
Yeah, I think for our front seven, it, you know, helps them out as far as their lanes, pass rush lanes, pursuit angles, knowing how to keep the ball in front of them and, you know, crush the pocket. That's a big thing. You know, but for all of us, just understanding, you know, getting 11 hats to the ball and, you know, playing with good eyes and understanding, okay, you know, when the QB does tuck the ball down to run, you know, we gotta get there. Everyone's gotta get there, because it might bounce a couple gaps, and we gotta be the guy to, you know, make the play. So, you know, we're excited to go out and you know, just seeing the way that the backers too are, you know, flowing to the ball right now is fun when I'm behind them, right? Watching them get their hats to the ball and the way that they play. But yeah, we're excited for this game.
What's the general feeling in the locker room and among your teammates about this game? Because I know that you do have bigger aspirations in winning just one game. Certainly you want to get to Dallas in the Big 12 championship game and, you know, one step at a time. But naturally, there's a little bit more feeling to this game. So what's the general feel in the locker room right now?
You know, as I think I already mentioned, like there's a lot of excitement. I think the boys are anxious and ready to go and get out there on the field and do our thing. But also, you know, we had a good discussion earlier this week about, you know, not getting outside ourselves, right? Staying within who we are, what our culture is, what our game plan is, not trying to do too much or do extra because, you know, we get psyched out of our mind, right? And that's been a point of emphasis for us, is just sticking to who we are. And if everyone, like, no one has to go out there and play hero ball for us to win, right? If everyone can just go do their job and execute their assignment really well, we will like the outcome.
We'll finish with a couple of quick hitters. How much social media do you consume during the football season?
It's in doses. I'm pretty busy, obviously, and, you know, try to use my time doing other things. But, you know, there's definitely certain things I avoid in the season.
And secondly, how do you handle the nerves of a game like this?
I just like to remember this is the same game I've played my whole life, right? Same game that, you know, a little version of myself played just for the love of it, and I'm still doing the same thing. And just remembering, you know, when you get out there, it's a lot like practice, right? We're doing the same thing as we've been doing throughout the entire week, throughout the entire year. There's just 65,000 people in the stands. But, you know, when you get out there, you can kind of just tune them out and just kind of do your thing and get into that flow state and play and play loose and have fun. But, yeah, just not putting pressure on yourself to just enjoy it and trust yourself and trust the outcome.
Tanner, I'm mustering up as much BYU Sports Nation karma as I possibly can here, like channeling all things BYU Sports Nation to grant to you and BYU the opportunity to go and kick some behind, man. Good luck on Saturday.
Hey, I really appreciate that. We're looking forward to it. Thanks, Spencer.
Kick some behind is right.
Let's go.
Number 19 women's volleyball. Massive match tonight at the Smith Fieldhouse. Number 7 Arizona State, who's won 21 consecutive Big 12 games, by the way. Fourth longest streak in the country.
Ooh.
Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Did you catch it? Tanner said it's the best week of practice since the Alamo Bowl, Jr.
I did hear that. Mm.
Still to come.
Delicious.
Kalani Sitake. Get some notable national recognition, plus a few big games for BYU women's volleyball. One we just showed you, and women's soccer tonight. It's all on the way in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 15, BYU football hopes to learn a lot about itself in a hopeful win against Utah, who's ranked number 23 on Saturday. After practice, defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke on his impressions of Utah quarterback Devin Dampier.
In many ways, he reminds me of Noah Fifita that we just played. They're both very good with their pocket presence. They're both very good with, you know, keeping their eyes downfield. They're both very athletic in the pocket. So I think he's very comparable to Noah. He does run it more than Noah did.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The injury report for BYU football is out for all to see as they prepare for the Utah game, notably, and as we discussed in the opening segment, linebacker Jack Kelly, not on said injury report.
Yeah, yeah.
He's back and available. Those listed out include safety Tommy Prassis. Raider DeMooney listed as doubtful. What's some good news on the defensive tackle front? Anisi Purcell listed as probable. BYU missed him last week.
Head coach Kalani Sitake named yesterday to the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award watch list. He's one of 28 candidates. Led BYU to a 6-0 record in back-to-back seasons for the first time in program history. And the Cougars have won 17 of the last 19 games.
The Big 12 Conference releasing the preseason poll and preseason all Big 12 teams for men's basketball. BYU ranked number 2 in the preseason coaches poll. Freshman A.J. DiBonza and senior Richie Saunders named to the preseason all Big 12 team. DiBonza was a unanimous selection.
Number 19 women's volleyball hosts number 7 Arizona State tonight in an important Big 12 conference match. The Sun Devils are the only unbeaten team in the league, BYU 3-2 in league play to start the year. It begins at 8 Eastern time on ESPN+.
Let's go. Smith Fieldhouse magic. BYU women's soccer hosting Arizona tonight at South Field. Cougars, just 2 wins, 3 losses, and a tie thus far in the Big 12 campaign. They could desperately use a win in that column tonight. Coverage begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Well, football showed them how to do it. BYU Baseball announces its 2026 schedule. Notably, BYU opens on the road for a four-game set at Western Kentucky beginning February 13th. Bat-Cats open Big 12 play with a three-game series at Miller Park against Cincinnati beginning March 12th. In other baseball news, congrats to former Bat-Cat, current Cleveland Guardian Daniel Schneeman, who is a finalist for the Gold Glove as utility player. That is awesome. Congrats to Daniel.
12th-ranked BYU men's golf finished in 14th place at the Bryson Invitational in Daniel Island, South Carolina. The Cougars' highest finisher, freshman Kihei Akina, who carted a T29 at 1-under par.
And former BYU punter Ryan Rico and Spencer Cincinnati Bengals host the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight on Thursday Night Football. Rico currently leading the NFL in average at 53 yards per punt. The Bengals are giving him lots of work.
Let's go, Joe Flacco. Let's get it done.
Like 2 weeks ago, I'd be like, what are you saying?
How weird is it that Joe Flacco is the Bengals quarterback and Aaron Rodgers is the Steelers quarterback?
In that division.
Good grief. Oh, the AFC North.
It's ugly. It'll get you.
After the break, BYU men's basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson reacts to the Big 12 preseason polls and all-conference teams and discusses why the exhibition games are so important for BYU. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Well, the highest preseason rank in BYU program history.
It means that BYU has an incredible head start on doing something historic.
I believe BYU will stay a top 15 team all year.
Being number one at some point this season is not out of the question. Oh, we're aiming high. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now is BYU men's basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson to discuss
BD in the house.
The schedule, the expectations, the excitement, the roster, and probably a little bit more than that. Welcome to the show, coach.
Appreciate it.
How would you sum up your emotions as you are this close to tipping off what many BYU fans are calling the most anticipated BYU basketball season ever?
Excited, ready. Those are probably the two things that are most on my mind. So it's been a long spring and summer, putting the team together and trying to get them all to mesh. So we're just excited to get out and play somebody besides ourselves right now.
Give us a sense of the work you guys have put in.
Yeah, I mean, we had to get, seven, eight new guys for the roster. And obviously after coming off such a successful season last year, finding pieces that fit. And obviously there's a lot of people who are interested in BYU, but keeping the main thing with our fit, our style of play, our culture, those type of things, and then getting them all here and getting them to mesh together. I mean, it's been a process, but the guys are great. They've been really good. So we're just excited about it.
How long do you feel like you need when you are putting so many new pieces together to give a team adequate time to adjust to each other and truly gel?
It all depends. I think it's going to continue to be a process as the season goes on, as we saw last year. Now, it was basically like we had all newcomers because it was a new staff, new style, all those type of things. And early in the season, you saw that we still had to figure things out. And there always comes a moment where it's like, okay, these guys are understanding each other better now. They're understanding what we want. We're also understanding what we need to tweak to fit our guys, because while we have our style of play that we want to play and run, it still has to fit the guys that we have out there on the court. So I think it's going to be a continual thing over time. And our goal is by February and March to be playing our best basketball.
And that's when it happened last year. The big win streak was in February and March, when you want to be peaking.
Yep.
This year, it's unique. You have two exhibitions. There's not some secret scrimmage that
right.
you can't talk about. It's at Nebraska. It's North Carolina in the Delta Center. Yeah. How is this exhibition season perhaps different in games that you want to get better? You don't have to win per se,
yeah.
but these are bigger opponents, bigger names, and televised.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big thing. One, getting our guys to play in a pressure situation, great environment right away on the road with Nebraska. I mean, they're one of the best environments in the Big Ten and all of college basketball. And I think that's going to be good. I think when we got to Providence last year, there was a little bit of shock from guys who hadn't played at this level or haven't been with our team. And we kind of wanted to get ahead of that this year. And so get that out the way early. But I think it gives us a chance to really see what we've got and see what we need to work on. I mean, Coach Hoiberg's teams, I mean, they've been good throughout the years. They're elite offensively, shooters everywhere. So it'll give us a good look. And then obviously Carolina's another preseason top 25 team and gives us another environment where it's semi-home. We'll have a lot of fans there, but one of the marquee programs in the country. So it'll be just good to see us against that competition. And as we head into game one of the regular season, really show us where we're at and what we need to work on.
Brandon Dunson, BYU men's basketball assistant coach, is on BYU Sports Nation. How do these exhibition games compare to, let's say, the NBA preseason? And I ask that because I've had a few fans ask me, does it matter who wins these games, or is it more about just like trying out different rotations and working through some of the weird dynamics of playing a road game if you're BYU? So how do those two compare to each other?
Yeah, I mean, as competitors, you always want to win it. But I do think there's, with the exhibition games, there's a greater focus. There's always a focus on process, but there's a greater focus on process and trying to figure out, okay, do these lineups work together? To be able to do that when it doesn't necessarily count and see, okay, can this group execute together in a stressful situation? To be able to have the opportunity to do that before it counts is big. But I'd be lying if I said we don't want to win those games. But at the end of the day, if we come back learning more about ourselves and putting ourselves in a better position to be successful when we get to Vegas against Villanova, I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
I mean, ask Auburn last night if they didn't want to beat Oklahoma State, right? Like, that was a big win for the Cowboys in the Big 12. That was, I know it's an exhibition, but I want to see BYU beat North Carolina. Let's go. Come on. Picked second in the Big 12. Yeah. That's big time. Obviously, Houston should be number one.
Right,
they were in the
right.
national title game. They returned a lot of guys. Number two, how does the team handle that positive pressure?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. Obviously, it's recognition more to what people have done in the past and then the projections, obviously, for this year. But KY's kind of before the season started, we had this whole deal. It's like, good, bad, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The preseason stuff doesn't matter. You got to just stay focused. And so we try to kill all the outside noise, good, bad, whatever. I mean, last year we were preseason ninth. We never talked about it. It didn't matter.
It wasn't a motivating factor?
For us, it wasn't, because it's just do what you need to do. Focus in it every single day. How do you get better every single day? And at the end of the day, the rest takes care of itself. So that's kind of been our approach with things. Like, it's great, especially for the university and given the school, the publicity that we have and putting us on the big stage, which is amazing for our university, our fans, and all those things. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there and play the games. And that's what we've told our guys to focus on.
Not surprisingly, A.J. DeBonsa and Richie Saunders show up on the preseason All-Big 12 team. That's to their credit for the work that they put in,
yep.
And everybody can see what they do on tape.
Yep.
But, Coach, you work with them in a very unique and often closed-door way.
Yep.
So you get to watch them progress day by day by day, doing all the little things you're talking about. Where have you seen each of those two players, AJ and Richie, take the biggest step forward in the last few months?
Yeah, starting with Richie, I mean, he sets the tone every single day. He's one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. He leads by example. The couple areas where I think he's gotten a lot better is now he's getting more vocal and trying to bring guys along, not just by doing the right thing, but like helping encourage them to do the same things and to work with him. He's bringing guys in with him instead of coming in the gym and just getting his work in. So that's been huge from a leadership perspective. And then his handling the ball and being able to do stuff in ball screens. Last year, he was a catch and shoot guy, straight line driver, defended pretty well. But now he's really been good in ball screens and making reads and handling it in the open court. And that's something that he worked on a ton this summer. And he's definitely shown dividends in it. So I think you'll see the ball in his hands a lot more than it was last season. AJ, if Richie's our hardest worker, AJ is 1B. I mean, he gets after it. He brings a very mature approach to practice and getting better and competitively. Like, now we knew his talent, we knew how good he was, we knew he was a competitor, but when you get there and you actually work with him, you see like what matters to him is if the other team has 12, you have 13. And that's permeated throughout our team, starting with those two guys, with their work ethic, their habits. So I just think they continue to work, and they help our team, bring them energy, and they set the tone every day. So you can't have bad days when those two are your hardest workers.
What is the identity of the team at this point, in your opinion?
I think different than last year, our defense is ahead of our offense. I think we really made a concerted effort to get guys who were long, athletic, had high motors, and I think it's paid off. I think we're going to play a similar way defensively. We'll change some things up, but with our bodies and the athleticism, we're naturally just more gifted. We're much better guarding the ball one-on-one. I mean, all the way throughout the team. So I think that's going to be a huge difference that you see from last year. I think offensively, we're still going to play the same way. It's all about making the right reads. And we've focused more on defense intentionally because we know that the offense is going to get there. So we're excited about it.
As are we.
I'm not worried about the offense whatsoever. Yeah.
Brandon, you spoke earlier about the staff being all new last year, and like that was a process. It's hard to quantify just how valuable it is to have the staff back together now that it's not new, but it does matter, right? And the players have referenced that. With you being part of that staff, what are the superpowers that Kevin Young looks at you for and your role on this staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think he kind of looks at all of us in the same way. We kind of have pockets of things that we touch. Everyone's involved with everything. But for me, on the court, it's more of the player development stuff and the defensive side of the ball. Me, Tim Fanning, John Linehan, we head up the defense. Will Burgess and KY head up the offense. And then Coach Voigt does a lot of the special situation stuff. So that's kind of our on-court roles, and then obviously recruiting and different parts of just being a liaison for the collegiate aspect of our program, as far as admissions, trying to think other things, compliance and those type of things. And so I'd say those are kind of my biggest roles with the group.
So you're not busy at all.
And you're translating like what 6'7" means to Kevin Young. Right?
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Man. That's been something for a few months.
I can't wait for it to go away. I'm done with it.
Every time a score in a basketball game is 7-6, here we go.
It's funny. Obviously, Coach Young's kids are around those ages, and like, so anytime we say, the kid's about 6'7", you have Coach Young saying it in the meeting. So it's pretty funny.
Kalani did it on the coach's show Tuesday night. He goes 6'7"?
I get it. They're with it.
Right.
85% of our audience going, I don't know what they're talking about.
Brandon, great to have you with us. We're super excited, as we mentioned. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go do your thing.
Good luck in Lincoln.
Business in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
And things ramp up. Big 12 Basketball Media Days will be live from Kansas City next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, BYU Sports Nation live from Kansas City, and Media Days on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way. We already know plenty about this week's football foe. So instead of know the foe, we're going to take a new angle on this segment. The in-state game trivia game.
Really calling it that?
Is after the break on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. The in-state game trivia game has been pushed to tomorrow. Do you believe that BYU Utah and the winner is a Big 12 championship contender? Essentially, is this an elimination game? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Careers Built for Victory. From Hank underscore 57 on X says, more so for Utah than BYU. BYU would still have more chances to beat top teams, but Utah would have losses to the top two teams when BYU beats them. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Daniel Schneeman, Gold Glove finalist.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Sorry to Dennis. Shout out to Stacey Corley. Go Cougs.